Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful invitation that you hold out to anyone, and that you hold out again to your people this afternoon. We pray that you would fill our hearts with joy, fill our hearts with wonder, and please would you show us your beauty. Would you draw us to you? And please would you stir our wills to respond. And we pray it for your glory. Amen. So the reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just have a look for a moment at the picture on the handout, the meme. It was made when the clocks went back in October 2020. I don't know if you could have identified with what it says. I'm not setting my clock back. I just can't spend an extra hour in 2020. I wonder how you're feeling as you look ahead to 2021. Maybe you're optimistic, looking forward to the vaccine coming, the spring, some change in your circumstances, or just the fact that it's not 2020. Maybe you're concerned. My guess is many of us, perhaps all of us, feel weary and burdened, perhaps even exhausted. Maybe we're wondering how we can face another year and whatever it holds. Well, if that describes you, and certainly it's described me, then what better way to start the new year than by considering these words of Jesus that I just read. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. It's a wonderful invitation to each of us as we start this new year, wherever we're at personally. So during these few minutes together, we're going to think about the burdens we carry. We're going to think about the heart of Jesus that leads him to make this offer, and then we're going to think about the offer. So first, the burdens that we carry. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I don't know if you've stopped to reflect on the burdens you carry, the things that make you weary over the last few days or weeks. Maybe during this week after Christmas, you've had time to stop and think. Maybe you haven't done it yet. My guess is all of us are weary about something. All of us carry burdens. And there's great value, actually, in stopping to recognize them rather than just burying them. So here's just a few possibilities. There's the weariness brought on by 2020, the burden of anxiety, the weariness of constantly changing rules, not knowing if we're up to date, the weariness of not knowing what tomorrow will hold, not being able to plan, the burden of not being able to see loved ones as much as we'd like, the weariness of isolation and loneliness. Then there are other burdens. For some, there's the burden of bereavement, still raw and agonizing, like the loss of a limb, only much worse. For others, there's the burden of suffering, whether physical or mental or emotional, in a thousand different ways. Maybe there's the burden of relationship problems and stresses. There's the weariness of resisting temptation and the burden of having failed to resist temptation, of having fallen into sin again. There are the natural burdens we face at this time of year, the thought of having to go back to school or having to go back to work. For some, the burden of facing exams in the not-too-distant future. And perhaps the greatest burden of all, our own expectations of ourselves. Things we think we should do, the person we think we should be, expectations that often rub against the things we've already mentioned and weigh us down with a load of guilt and shame for how we've failed. There's the burden of our failures, both real and perceived. In the original context, Jesus was perhaps referring particularly to the burdens placed on people by the religious leaders. And today, some of us feel similar burdens imposed by our surrounding culture, whose religion requires us to believe particular things and which tries to cancel us if we believe otherwise. So I suggest we just take a moment on our own or in family groups to identify two or three burdens that we're particularly weighed down by at the moment, and maybe just to write them down if you've got a pen on the handout. Just pause for about a minute. Well, these burdens can weigh us down, can't they? The weariness can so overcome us that we wonder if we can keep going. And if we do manage to keep going, it's because we're forcing ourselves. So the burdens we carry. But then second, the heart of Jesus, which is gentle and lowly. The heart of Jesus. We often talk about what Jesus has done and is doing, and it's important that we do. But it's also important to consider who Jesus is, what he's like. In some ways, it's even more important because his character, who he is what causes him to do the things that he does. And it's important to consider what he's like because his people will spend eternity with him, getting to know him, enjoying him, worshipping him. And this life gives us an opportunity to develop that glorious relationship. You see, we haven't just been saved by a lifeguard who takes us back to land and then just leaves us to our own devices. We've been rescued by a bridegroom who's brought us into his royal palace to be with him forever. Or if you prefer the image, by a shepherd who's brought us into his flock to be close to him forever. And as we get to know Jesus' character, today's verses are vitally important. Verse 29. Middle of verse 29, I am gentle and humble in heart. In the Bible, the heart isn't just a person's emotions. It's more than that. It's the core of a person's being. It's what makes them tick. And there's only one place in the whole New Testament where Jesus tells us what his heart is, and this is it. More than anything else, Jesus is gentle and humble. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, over the last few weeks, I've been greatly helped by this book, Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers by Dane Ortlund. The reference is on the end of the handout. It's a wonderful book, and I'd like to suggest that we use it as our book of the term, this term. In his kindness, God caused this book to be brought out just about as the pandemic started. And lots of people around the world have been hugely refreshed and encouraged by gazing on the gentle and lowly character of Christ. And I'd love us to do the same. But this is what he has to say about those words, gentle and humble or lowly. So the word translated gentle is used three other times in the New Testament. The references are on the handout. And in those contexts, it means meek, humble, and gentle. It's the opposite of harsh and reactionary. It points us to a person of understanding and empathy. It speaks of a posture, not of finger pointing, but of open arms, of welcome, of compassion. Then the word lowly, this speaks of a humility being born out of, thrown down by life's circumstances. Jesus isn't up there, far away, unable to identify with us or understand us or care. No, he's down with us in the dust, in the pit. He's accessible, he can be reached. All we have to do is open ourselves up to him, to cry out to him. What's all this mean for our weariness and our burdens? Well, how do we think of Christ? We're in the midst of struggling, of suffering, when life is hard. What do we think his attitude is to us? Do we think of him as a distant figure, uncaring? Perhaps an uncompassionate schoolteacher demanding more, or even a hard taskmaster? Well, no, he's gentle and lowly. He understands. He knows. He wants to help. He's the doctor who's come into the jungle with to provide medical care to a tribe afflicted with a contagious disease. He has the medicine. He wants to provide it. He's the Samaritan who finds a man beaten and battered and bruised by the side of the road and does everything he can to help. He sees us in the pit and he longs to climb in. Indeed, he already has at the incarnation when the Word became flesh. He delights to come to us in our need and to help us. Often when we're suffering, we think Jesus has abandoned us, don't we? Jesus, I think he's most with us when things are going well. But just listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We do not have a high priest who's unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And the word able to feel sympathy for, that word is suffer with. He suffers with us. He most sympathizes with us when things are going badly. I don't know if you've ever heard that poem, Footprints, but there is truth in it. Go and Google it later. Just look through the Gospels. See how Jesus relates to the people he comes into contact with who cry out to him for help. People in the pit, like the leper, the blind man, the Gentile woman, Jairus, the man whose son has an evil spirit. Every time he enters into the pit and he helps. And yes, he's no longer on earth. He's ascended to the Father, but he is with people today by his Spirit. He will still come to us if we call to him. So the burdens we carry, the heart of Jesus, gentle and lowly. Finally, before we apply, the offer of Jesus, come to me. Come to me. He encourages us to come to him. And we've already seen what there is in his character, which is encourages us to come to him. He's gentle and lowly. He understands. He enters the pit. And of course, because he's the God-man, he can do something about it, as he did for all those he helped during his time on earth. So now he shows us the result of our coming to him. I will give you rest. I will refresh you. I will give you relief. And we can think of that rest as eternal for those who make the once-in-a-lifetime decision to come to Jesus. They receive the promise of eternal rest. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus has borne our greatest burden, the burden of our sin. He took our sin and all its eternal consequences on his shoulders on the cross. So that if we come to him, if we trust in him, our sin no longer counts against us. We can look forward to an eternal rest with him, which is what we were made for. But this rest is also present. As we come to him and hand our burdens to him, as we ask him to comfort and soothe our weary souls, as we stop striving to achieve our expectations and we hand them to him and we place our trust in him, we find rest. Now, this coming to him, it does have a cost of sorts. It isn't without a load to carry. What does Jesus say? Take my yoke upon you. I'm sure we're aware that a yoke is a harness put on animals to lead them in a particular direction. Our burdens are yokes leading us where we don't want to go. And as we come to Jesus, we receive a new yoke, a new direction. But what kind of yoke is it? Verse 30. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. His yoke, the yoke of following Jesus, it's what we were made for. It's life. as we read in Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Come to me, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Well, before we think about how we come to Jesus, we need to stop and ask ourselves, why do so many people refuse this invitation? Why are some of us continuing to refuse it? Why do all of us refuse it some of the time? It may be for some that they have a wrong view of Jesus, as we've already thought about. And if you're aware that's an issue for you, I encourage you to get hold of the book and to read it, to have a right view of him that will draw you to him like a ravenously hungry man at a feast. But for many, they don't come because they don't want Jesus' yoke upon them. They don't want any yoke but their own. What stops many coming to Jesus is pride and the desire to be independent and in control. In fact, this is what Jesus has just been speaking about in the previous verses in Matthew 11. The tragedy, of course, is that we do keep our yoke, the yoke of our burdens. We try to carry them ourselves, to deal with them in our way, which we can't do. Think again of that tribe in the jungle. Imagine they refuse the help of the doctor. How foolish, how self-destructive. But tragically, there are millions who live like that, and we live in a culture that encourages us to do it. We need to hand over control to Jesus, and we are happiest when we do. But many resist handing over control. And what's the result? Well, Jesus leaves them to carry their burdens, even to death and hell. Listen to what he says just a few verses before in Matthew 11, verses 21 and 22. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, towns that Jesus had visited. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. You see, Jesus isn't just gentle and lowly. He's not just the lamb that was slain. He's also the Lion of Judah. When stirred up, his wrath is great. So what is the dividing line between those who experience this gentle and lowly character and those who face his wrath forever? Come to me. It's those who come to Jesus who find him to be gentle and lowly. So as we close, how do we come to Jesus in our weariness, in our burden bearing, whether it's for the first time or for the millionth time? Well, we talk to him. We tell him about our need, our burden, our weariness. We admit, I can't do anything about it. I'm at the end of myself. We ask him to take the burden away, to give us rest, peace. We ask him to be our Lord and our Savior and our shelter and our rest, and we accept his yoke, his way of life, his leading, trusting him that it's for our good. Maybe you're facing a time of suffering, perhaps something that's been done to you, perhaps illness or a depression. You don't know how you can bear it. Well, remember, Jesus sympathizes. He suffers with. There's nothing any human being can face that Jesus has not himself faced. He is in the pit. Come to him. He will be with you. He will strengthen you. And at the right time, he will lift you out. Maybe you're battling with a sense of weariness or you're tired of striving. What does Jesus promise? Come to me. I will give you rest. I will refresh you. I will restore you. I will help you focus on what really matters. I'll give you the grace to do what needs to be done. I'll give you the confidence that my will is being done. I take the weight. You don't need to. I'll teach you my ways, ways to help you cope in the swamp and continue at a pace you can manage. Maybe you're anxious about something. And there are lots of things to be anxious about at the moment, aren't there? Well, who better to come to than Jesus, who later in Matthew's gospel, we're told all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. He can bear that thing you're anxious about. Hand it to him. Entrust it to him. You weren't designed to bear that burden. Give it to him. Maybe you face temptation to sin. Come to Jesus. He will strengthen you by his Spirit. He will show you his better paths, his joyful paths. And even now, he's praying for us before the Father that we would be delivered from evil. Maybe you have sinned, and you're weighed down with the guilt and the burden of that. Well, Jesus isn't only praying for you before the Father, he's also representing you, as John writes in 1 John. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Father, he says, this one is mine. I died for his sins, for her wrongdoings. I took them on me. I united myself to her. She is holy in your sight. What a wonderful Savior and Lord we have. Jesus, gentle and lowly. As we begin this new year with whatever opportunities and challenges it may hold, let us come to Jesus and find rest for our souls. I encourage you just to take a minute. Maybe go back to those three burdens you jotted down at the start and hand them over to him. Come to Jesus. And don't just do it for a minute now. Do it for the whole week. Come to him each day and find rest.